Praise the Lord, and hello again. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and today this is going to be tape 103. In the event that you want to order, it's free of charge. It could be tape 103, or we're doing it on CDs now, so you could tell us if you want a CD or a tape. And on this tape, we're going to be reading from a piece of literature that the Lord gave me several years ago. And that is how to have God's life living in you. Now, before the Lord gave me this piece of literature, I didn't hear anybody for years and years and years preaching this message about the Lord living in you and through you. I always hear that the Lord came down upon me like he did in the Old Testament with the prophets. Well, the Lord came down, I felt the presence of the Lord. But now in the New Testament, I began teaching that the Lord's presence is in us at all times if you're really born again of the Spirit. And now, thank God, after all the messages that I've brought regarding this subject, I hear people ministers preaching that same message. And I really praise and thank the Lord for it, because maybe I've been some sort of an good influence on some of them, because that's for sure. The Lord has to be living in you in order for you to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord's life has to be living in you in order for him to be able to do a work in and through you. The Lord's life has to be living in you in order for you to have the power to accomplish all the things that the Lord requires that we accomplish in his word, because we are absolutely powerless so far as the natural man is concerned. We have to be a spiritual man, and there's no way that we can say, all right, the Lord anoint me now and then. The Lord must be living in us, because the Lord requires that we pray always, and this is impossible for a natural man to do. And he requires for us to be steadfast in communicating with him, and that no unsaved person, no natural man, or no person that relies on the way that the Lord dealt with people in the Old Testament would be able to do the things that the Lord requires of us in the New. Now, a lot of people think that the law is strict, and it is. But in the New Testament, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is even more rigorous than the Old Testament law of the Ten Commandments. We must, in the New Testament, keep the Ten Commandments plus all the other ones. We're not even to look upon a woman with lust in our heart, or we've committed adultery. And there's no possible way that people, there's some people that can do that. Many people can do that, but there's other ones about staying a hold of the Lord all the time. And just there's a multitude of walking in the Spirit is the main thing. We must walk in the Spirit at all times in order to be perfect. Now, people say these false teachers are the teachers that have not yet become mature enough to know that you can be perfect. They don't seem to know that you can be perfect if you're walking in the Spirit. Because when you're walking in the Spirit, there's no condemnation to you that walk not after the flesh, that are not natural people. There's no condemnation to those that are not after the flesh. In other words, they're spiritual. If you're a spiritual person, and you're spiritual all the time as the New Testament requires, you're perfect according to God. Amen?
Amen.
And so it's very important for us to know how to have God's life living in you all the time. But now the outward anointing, when the Lord anoints me to, like I'll be walking down the street and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord will come down upon me, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the ministering Spirit, the Spirit that occurs after we've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We will have power. We have power after the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Now, the Spirit of God enters us when we're saved, but then we go a bit further. Jesus was saved from the time of conception, and he kept all the commands. Then when he was 30 years old, he was baptized by John in the River Jordan, and the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, came down upon him, and John the Baptist saw it, and it came down in the shape of a dove. Amen?
Amen.
And this, immediately, that was the anointing that even Jesus needed as a human being, and he's also a God-man, because God was in him. That gave him the power to be in the ministry. And the minute that that power was given to him, the Holy Spirit that entered him in the shape of a dove, so that John could see it, pushed him right up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, to test the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, have you ever been tempted with lust, or the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? Well, when Jesus went out into the wilderness, he was tempted with everything on earth by the devil. He put him on a tall, you know, the pride was like, if you're the Son of God, take these rocks here and turn them into bread. Well, the Lord could do that. He showed that he could make bread out of just a few loaves, enough to feed thousands of people. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord could do that, but that would be pride if he wanted to show off, especially for the devil. You know, we're not a vaudeville act. Jesus was no vaudeville act where he says, oh, all right, let me show you what I can do. Amen?
Amen.
It was better that he waited until he was killed and then 3 days later rose from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
And out of hell. It was better that he, we all see the actual record of him ascending into the kingdom of heaven in a cloud. 500 people saw this. And only 120 of them showed up on the day of Pentecost. They showed up, they were tearing for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because they saw the record of Jesus, that he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then he was ready for the ministry. Now, a lot of people, you're saved, and you don't want to be in the ministry, but let me tell you one thing. You know what good fruit is? Good fruit is the doing the good works of the Lord. And how do we know what the good works of the Lord is? You read the Bible, and you can see what the good fruit is. The fruit is the Word of God. Now, when we eat the Word of God, it's like eating from the fruit from the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. So, but every tree that doesn't eat good fruit cannot bring forth good fruit. Every evil tree, they don't read the Bible. They don't eat good fruit, and therefore they can't bring forth good fruit. All they can bring forth is evil fruit. That's where you see so many people that don't read the Bible, and so many people that they are preaching, and they shouldn't be preaching at all, because they're preaching heresy. They're preaching evil fruit. And if you eat of that evil fruit, then you'll be an evil tree that brings forth evil fruit, because you're bringing forth words. The tree of life is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. So we have to eat good fruit in order to speak good fruit, to bring forth good fruit. Because when we feed people the true Word of God, that's the good fruit, and they can get saved from us preaching the good fruit. Because their souls, a lot of people's souls today are dry and thirsty for the good fruit, for the precious Word of God. And there are so few people that are on a continuous basis eating good fruit and preaching good fruit and teaching good fruit. People cannot be saved by heresy. They cannot enter the kingdom of heaven by religion that teaches you everything, or so many things that are false. It will destroy your soul. That's why religion won't do you any good. You must be born again of the Spirit. This is what the tree of life says. If you want to eat from the tree of life, then believe what the Word says, because the Bible tells us that the Word of God, Jesus, is the life, the tree of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the good fruit. He's the Word. He's the good fruit that you're to eat of that good fruit, which is His flesh, and drink the good water, the Holy Spirit, because His Word, the good fruit, is Spirit and it's life. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you eat the good fruit, then you'll have something, you'll have the Spirit of God and the tree of life in you, so that you're able to minister it unto others. And that's what the Lord wants us to do with the good fruit. The Word of God is to bring forth good fruit. And the only way, you know, like when you take a apple and cut it up and let it dry out the seeds and put it in the ground, it'll bring forth good fruit if it was a good apple. Amen?
Amen.
And so if that good fruit, the Word of God, is sown into you, then you'll be good fruit. That's why the Lord says, take heed how you hear. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you're eating the good fruit every day, the Word of God, and you're doing what the Word of God tells you to do, well, then you're perfect. Because there can't be, I mean, you may make little human mistakes, and there's a lot of difference between sin and little mistakes. The Bible says, go and sin no more. Good fruit, the Lord's Word says, and the Lord Himself said it, go now and sin no more. And the good fruit says, he that sinneth is of the devil. Now there are people saying that the good fruit can save your soul, and then after that you can start being evil. You can start doing evil, and there's no condemnation for that. But the Bible, you know, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, stated you'd be like if you got saved and then you started eating evil fruit and doing evil, that you're like a dog or a pig. A dog that's gone back to its own vomit, or a sow that's gone back to its wallowing in the mire. So it's obvious that the Lord's in that day and age, people thought of dogs and pigs as a deplorable, an evil thing. The Lord describes dogs as being, if you're a dog, or a pig, I don't think that's a complimentary thing for God to be calling you. That would frighten me out of my wits if the Lord started calling me a dog or a pig. And it should. You also, unless you've eaten so much evil fruit, and if you don't care where your soul is going to spend eternity. Some people don't care about eating good fruit so that they can be perfect. People say, I don't want to be perfect. I'm living in a world now that's imperfect, and I want to be able to fit in. Well, you have to be lay not up your treasures here on earth, because it isn't that the Lord doesn't want people to have things here, a few things here on earth, and what you need and everything, but it's just that He doesn't want our hearts to be focused on things on this earth, because that's no good. He says, lay up treasures for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
And there where no one can steal it from you, and no one can take it away from you. But the treasures that you store up here in this world, you can't take it with you where you're going. If you go to heaven, you can't take it with you. And if you're going to hell and the lake of fire, you can't take it with you. So either way, you can't take anything here in this world with you. All right, so... there's so much to teach about the good fruit, the Word of God, the message of the Lord. He says, every tree, and he's likening Himself as a tree. He's the tree of life. And the fruit thereof is how we, if we eat from Jesus, we know we're going to make it into heaven. And so He likens us unto trees. If our Master likens Himself unto a tree, then why should He not be able to liken us unto trees? And so He likens us either, He parallels a good tree and a bad tree, and a good tree and an evil tree. Now we have to choose whether we want to be a good tree or an evil tree? And everyone that brings forth evil, or is an evil tree and brings forth evil fruit, shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. These are the words. This is the fruit from the tree of life. This is what the Lord says. So the best thing for all of us to do is to choose to eat from the tree of life so that we can be good trees and so that we can bring forth good fruit. In other words, so that we can preach good word, the good word of God, so that others can be saved. If we think this way, then we are merciful. And those of us that sow mercy to others, in other words, it's not enough that we are saved, but the Lord wants us to do the works. He wants us to bring forth, to sow this good seed from the good fruit into others. And by doing this, God says we're merciful, because we don't want to see our friends, our loved ones, or our enemies to enter into hell. We want them to go into the kingdom of heaven. So we first must become, eat the good fruit and receive what the Lord says, which is you must be born again of the Spirit, of the Word, the good fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Now, how are you going to bring forth an apple tree? By sowing a rock? Well, how can you be a good tree if you just don't allow the Lord to sow his good seed in you, the good fruit in you from the tree of life, from the Word of God? The Word of God is God. So it's just common sense, amen?
Amen.
The Lord parallels with one thing or another. Amen?
Amen.
The good tree, the evil tree. The good fruit, the evil fruit. The kingdom of heaven, the pit of hell, the lake of fire. And he says, choose. We have a will. And we can will to do what God will. God's will is that no one goes to hell. But unfortunately, people don't like to align themselves with the good word of God, the good seed, the good fruit. Well, anyway, we have, we're going to be reading from how to have the living God, the good fruit living in you. The resurrection living in you. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he says, my word is spirit and life. I am spirit and life. And he says, if I am living in you and you die, that same spirit that raised me from the dead will raise you from the dead. The same spirit that resurrected me from the dead will resurrect you from the dead. The same spirit that caused me to ascend up into the kingdom of God will cause you to ascend up into the kingdom of God. But if there's a rock inside of you, like a evil fruit, corruption, and that's all you do is you don't have any power in you to avoid the corruption that Satan tempts you with. So you're not going to be able to raise from the dead. It's like sowing rocks into your soul. So we have several letters also, and I better get up to the throne of God and ask the Lord to anoint this service. That's why the Lord was baptized with the Holy Spirit, so that he could go out into the wilderness and resist Satan's every temptation. He was temptation with every female on the face of this earth, and he rejected them all. He rejected booze, narcotics, drugs, and believe me, there were narcotics and drugs in the world before Jesus came in the flesh. It talks about it in the Old Testament. It talks about prostitutes in the Old Testament, homosexuals in the Old Testament. It talks about the same thing in the Old Testament and the New. And it tells what God's a word, the good fruit, says about such things. They're an abomination unto him. And so God, in Jesus, was anointed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that's when his ministry began at 30 years old, and it was a 3.5-year ministry, and what he did was the power of God, the good fruit in him, which he is the good fruit, turned this world upside down. Amen?
Amen.
The problem is so few people they think they're cool by being part of the in crowd here on earth. Being part of the in crowd is evil fruit, my friends. Trying to be part of what's going on earth is not the good fruit. It's evil fruit, it's corrupt, and there's no way that you will be able to withstand temptation. There's no way in the world that you're going to be able to get into heaven. There's no way in the world that you're going to be able to take others with you into heaven. You're going to just bring forth evil fruit because ye yourself are evil. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ taketh away the sins of the entire world, and God is no respecter of persons. If you call unto him, he'll save your soul. When the blood that he shed takes away all the sin, this is what the fruit of the word says, the good fruit. The precious fruit, the precious water, the living spirit. He says, the words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. These words of God are your life. So study them, absorb them into you, and you'll see, you'll have a new life, a life that is not temporal and full of corruption, but you'll have a life that is pure, clean, powerful, in a life that is going to resurrect you from the dead right here the minute you accept it. Because we in the Bible, the good fruit says that we're dead in our sins and transgressions until we start eating good fruit, until we accept the tree of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Make sense?
Yes.
Amen. Alright, so right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to because this is part of the good fruit. He tells us to pray, and if we our prayers if our prayers are sincere, then he answers them. If people just mutter words and they don't really believe that God is hearing, then that's not a sincere prayer. A lot of people say, well, God's got me on hold. No, you better read the word of God so you can see that God honors and listens to every sincere prayer. He listens to them and he'll answer them. And I am a witness to that. And I know that there are many other people that can witness that. Straight is the gate. Jesus is the gate. And narrow is the way. And Jesus is the way that leads to eternal life. And Jesus is that eternal life. And few there be that enter into the straight gate and walk that narrow walk. But broad is the way of destruction. There's so many ways that you can pick that will cause your soul not to be able to enter heaven. And God forbid that you should do that. This is tape 103, and you can have it free of charge if you like. And so just, or you can have the CD. My Father, let's pray now. Father, we thank and praise your holy name. You're the Word. Your hallowed name. We pray that your will be done on this tape, and that the good fruit, your word, will enter into every soul, every listener, and that it, I know that it will save souls if they receive it, and they will become good trees because you're no respecter of persons, and of course the word, the good fruit, will also raise the church and edify the church, because the reproof of your word, the good fruit, is the way of life. And so even though we know these things, it's good for us to hear them again and again. Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now we have some letters. How many letters do you have?
3 letters.
Okay, excuse me. I'm just getting over a cold. The devil gave it to me, but I refuse it. I receive to accept it. Amen.
Amen.
It's almost over now. I thank you for praying for me, and if you're not praying for me, pray for me all the time, because Satan's always trying to do something to me. All right, go ahead.
The first letter's from Coahuila, Mexico. May peace be with you, Pastor. I want to tell you how I came to find out of you. The Lord sure works in mysterious ways. This is how I've come to know about you. Normally, I usually go through the mountain here in my country for the purpose of maintaining myself in fit shape. but on Monday the 27th of February in the year of 2005, in the middle of my walking, I found in the bushes, with some trash around it, three volumes of your world newsletter. Out of curiosity more than anything, I picked them up. They looked like they had never been opened and read. They were new. I brought them to my house and began to read them. The statement that you made from the sacred scriptures and your way that you explained them impacted me in a great way. The volumes I read were The Real Thing, The Real Deal, and Peace in the Middle East, The Only Answer. My reason for writing is because I would like to keep reading them. I would appreciate it if you could send me the following volumes: Communion, Being Led by the Spirit, The Sin of Not Praying, The Secret of How to Defend Your Mind, and Holiness. I would like if you could send me all of the literature that you have written. May God, our Lord, bless you and keep guiding you in your ministry. One last thing, if I am not being rude, what would it cost each shipping that you send to me? I know that all of it has a cost to it. Please, I ask you this information from my heart. I don't have a computer. I am using one for rent, but here I enclose my physical address. Thank you. Signed, Jesus from Coahuila, Mexico.
Well, there's no cost whatsoever, brother. The Lord gave me salvation free of charge, and I wouldn't dare charge anything for the Word of God. That isn't, and I don't ever read of Jesus charging anyone any money to heal them or to. He didn't charge me a penny to get saved. Yeah, but he came after me in a very special way, and he comes after everyone in a very special way. So don't, anyone out there in Radio Land, don't think at all that it's going to cost you one penny. Especially, now we're not at all opposed to taking tithes and offerings, but it's not, I mean, if you don't have any money, just forget about it. You know, don't worry about that. The main thing that the Lord wants to see is that you receive Him, His Word, the good fruit, the power of God, so that you're able to do something for God, so that God can do something in you. A lot of people are in the ministry, but it's not the right ministry. They've chosen their own ministry, and they haven't yet been born again of the Spirit. And that's so prevalent today. They've decided to go to a theological seminary to learn how, you know, about the Lord, but they never partake. They know the word like the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes, but they don't do the things. They're not able to do the things the Lord commands them to do because the word is not living in them. They're not born again by the Spirit. They're not born again of the Spirit. And so I pray that everyone that is in the ministry, that they hurry up and receive the Lord and by accepting Him into their hearts, the Spirit. They must be born again. You must. That's a must, the Lord said. The good word, the good fruit says you must be born again of the Spirit. It's a must. It isn't something that's arbitrary that you can either do or not do. You must be born again of the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's a must. Okay, then what? You have another letter?
Yes. From Chapata, Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor Olamo, many thanks to God for you and the church for the work you are doing. Believe me, Pastor, many souls have come to know the truth through your literature and newsletters, for they are powerful, whereby lost souls are being redeemed back to our Lord Jesus Christ. I received the literature and newsletters which you sent me, and I have distributed to the hungry people. Also, I received four Bibles, which I distributed to the leaders as per request. Pastor, I am hereby asking for more literature and newsletters, Bibles, message tapes, CDs, and the book Messiah also. If you can find me a Bible with the concordance for my daily use.
We can find you a Bible. We just got a truckload and a half. That's a big semi and a half. One whole semi and then another half of a semi of Bibles, which are the Bibles that I had printed up, and we've got some Bibles for you, anyone that needs one. All right, then what?
I have opened a lunch hour fellowship at Clark Cotton, Zambia, which is one of the biggest companies in eastern Zambia, so the need of your powerful literature and newsletters. Looking forward to hearing from you. Yours faithfully, Pastor Gabriel from Chapata, Zambia, Africa.
Well, let's make sure that this pastor is given an adequate supply, as much as he needs, of Bibles, Messiah books, and all the literature. And load him up, get him all good with the good fruit so that he can get into those that company there and win a lot of souls. And God bless you, brother, real good. And I know he is. Praise the Lord. Then what?
The next letter is from Nigeria, Africa. Calvary greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your parcel was received with joy, and all the contents were welcomed. May God bless you and all your workers. 20 people repented and were baptized, so they asked me for Bibles and Messiah books. So, Pastor, with all humility, I ask you to send them to me.
Get them to him immediately. We probably already have, but yes. If not, do it. All right, then what?
Please, Pastor.
Send him 24 Bibles, because by the time he gets them, he's probably won at least another 4 souls. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead.
Please, Pastor, send me something for the new year, like shoes and a coat. I will be very happy if you can send them to me. This is the literature that I request. Crossing the bridge, the bottomless pit, fire in prison, to receive everything, signs of the times, and God's strong man. I end here with my greetings, signed Lotsu from Nigeria, Africa.
If you weren't able to take all these information down, this is tape number 103 or CD number 103, and I'll send it to you free of charge. All right, those are all the... All right, now let's continue with how to have God's life living in you. This is a piece of literature the Lord gave me several years ago.
In the second chapter of Genesis, the foundation is laid for the whole Bible when it states that the tree of life, the Word of God, is God in Jesus, and that man must eat him to have eternal life.
Well, it is Jesus himself. The Bible plainly states that Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the image and likeness of God. God is a spirit, and the spirit, he had to have a likeness and an image, so that his likeness, his image, is Jesus. He is God's likeness. In other words, our body, we have a spirit in us. If the spirit leaves us, you can't see us. But our likeness and image of that spirit, our spirit looks the same as us. So, our body is the likeness and image of our spirit. And God is a spirit. And so, in order for him to have a likeness, he said, let us make man in our image. In order for us to have an image, we had to be fashioned as the Lord Jesus Christ is fashioned. But we also... in the beginning, we were fashioned like this God, but we fell away from God, and so therefore our spirit, our souls are dead. And because of the sins that Adam and Eve committed, and then also after we came into accountability, we've sinned. So we have the Adamic sin and then the sins that we've sinned. And then when we come to the age of accountability, when we hear the scriptures, or if God comes to us, as he did the Apostle Paul and myself, well, then we either accept him, and I pray that you do, so that he can have eternal life, or we reject him. And that's when we become, again, like the likeness and the image of God, as he first created man, Adam, and then Eve. And so we can't fall away, because then we are not the image and likeness of God. In order to enter the kingdom of heaven, we can't have one spot or blemish, in other words, not one sin on our souls. God is not going to let sin enter heaven. That's why he's making a new heaven and a new earth where there is only righteousness. He's not going to let any human behavior enter the kingdom of God. We all must be like him, and he is perfect. So there you are. Okay, then what?
Again, how do we eat God in Jesus to have eternal life? Not with our mouths, but with our eyes and ears. I will explain this later. Throughout the Old and New Testaments, we see that God's will is to live his life so he can accomplish his purpose inside human bodies. God presented himself to man in the form of food as the tree of life. So the tree of life is, in reality, God.
God's word. Amen? It's God, or God is the word. Amen?
Amen.
And it's the good fruit also. So when you eat good food, you are what you eat. If you eat Jesus and drink Jesus, you are a member of the body of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that simple?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
But again, where is the tree of life to be found that we might eat it to have eternal life? This first mention of Jesus being the tree of life, or the food we must eat to have eternal life, is in the second chapter of Genesis. This tree is also mentioned at the end of the Bible in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, and is referred to throughout the entire Bible in many other terms. The Bible uses many other terms to portray Jesus as the tree of life, whom we must eat to have the life of God with his power, dominion, and authority both living and working in us. The chief term is the, quote, Word of God, unquote, because Jesus is the Word of God.
Right, and the Word of God is the seed. The Word of God is spirit, and the Word of God is our life, and that's why we need to embrace the Word of God at all times. And if we can't embrace God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and mammon. Mammon is the things of this world. Now, we can have things of this world, but we can't focus on them, or to make that our focal point. We have to have the main focal point is to have the Word of God, Jesus. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then all the things that you need, and even more abundantly, will come unto you. He'll give you everything that you need, and even more so, so much that you won't be able to contain them all. You'll have to, we've had to build warehouses and such, to warehouse everything. I have no idea what the Lord's sent in, everything. I haven't even got the slightest idea. But I know that we've got enough, amen, to do
amen.
What we're doing.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
And there's so many people that are starving and homeless. And I just, I can't understand, if they've heard the gospel, why they would reject it. I guess they feel that they're second-class citizens. But the Bible says that he's no respecter of persons. And then if you'll eat from the tree of life, you will be a member of the tree of life. You'll be the good fruit, the Word of God. He likens his word as unto seeds, and he wants you to take that seed, the good fruit, the word, the spirit, the life, the way, the truth, and eat it and drink it. And you'll see that you'll be a new creature, not a partial good new creature, but you'll be an entirely new person. And you'll have everything you need if you seek first the kingdom of God. And it doesn't take long. God just immediately threw me right into the ministry when I when I got saved. He just made a way for me all the time, and he still does it. And I've been in the ministry going on 42 years. The Lord, I can testify that he has never let me down, and I can testify that I've never regretted one minute of being in the ministry. And to me, the things that I did before, I hate now. I mean, I don't want to be part of any part of the world. And this, we're not of this world if you're of the Lord. He says, we're not of this world. That we're just pilgrims passing through. And that there's another world that we seek. And that world is the eternal world, the kingdom of heaven. This world here is temporal. It is not going to last. And it's right at the very end of the world. How, when you read the news or look at the news or read your newspaper, how could this go on much longer? The Lord said he's going to shorten the time, otherwise no flesh would be able to make it. Amen?
Amen.
So out of his mercy, he's going to shorten the time. That's why the time is short. That's why you need to start eating from the tree of life. Well, the Bible says the tree of life was cut off. There's a double-edged sword. Keeping people from a fiery sword from getting to the tree of life. That's right, you have to accept those swords to be able to get into the Garden of Eden and eat that. It's a spiritual thing. If you receive this Word of God, which is the double-edged sword, then you'll be eating from the tree of life. You can mangiare, or how do they say it in Spanish?
Comer.
Comer? Comer. You'll be able to eat. Amen?
Amen.
So, bon appetit. Amen?
Amen.
Have a good time eating and drinking life eternal. Then what?
He is also the sacrificial lamb eaten by all the Old Testament patriarchs. In Egypt, on the night of the Passover, all Israel had to acknowledge the blood of Jesus, the Messiah, on their doorposts, lintels, and thresholds, signifying the cross where Jesus, the Messiah, would die for the sins of the world.
Why does it signify the cross? Because in order for the firstborn of every family not to die, they had to kill a lamb, which was symbolic of that Jesus was going to come into the world and be killed to shed his blood so that all sin could be taken away, former sin, not sin that we're going to do in the future because we're not going to sin anymore. And they had to take hyssop and put it in a bowl. They had to pour the blood of this lamb in a bowl and then dunk some hyssop, which grows abundantly in Israel. There's plenty of it, which means that, you know, there's plenty of salvation for people if they, or plenty of mercy if you want it. And so he dunks this hyssop in there and then puts it on the door posts and the lintel. This is the piece of the door on top of the door. This is the sign of the cross, amen? Especially with the basin down at the bottom of the door. Both doorposts, the lintel, and the basin of blood down at the bottom of the door. And that's mentioned in the Old Testament. And so if they acknowledge that, then the death angel would pass over them, would not kill the firstborn, but everyone that didn't acknowledge that cross that Jesus was going to die on and acknowledge the Lamb of God, which is Jesus, by killing symbolically killing a lamb and putting it on the doorposts and the lintel. Anyone that didn't do that, the firstborn of every family would die. And, of course, Pharaoh never did that, and his firstborn died. And there was a mourning, a howling, a weeping that went up all over Egypt. And they could have done it. What a simple thing to do, to acknowledge the blood of the Almighty God that was going to come into this world to die so that we could be saved. It's such a simple thing to do, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the good fruit, to eat from the tree of life, to do what God says so that we can be accepted into the kingdom of God. Why do they not do that? I can't understand it, except that I myself was lost. And I couldn't see that, not until God gave me a supernatural experience in an office in Beverly Hills when I was doing a promotion for a singer. And he came into that office and shut my ears off so that I couldn't hear. And then, like a mighty wind was going through me, my whole body, I was hearing his voice throughout my whole spirit. He was actually talking to my spirit. And he said, stand up on your feet and tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And I thought I was, everyone called me a genius, so I thought, well, maybe I am. And so maybe this is, I'm flipping out. I need to get out of here. And then I needed to check into a private mental institution and then do what they do in there. I hear they make wallets and string beads or do finger painting and stuff like that for a little while, and then I could come out and be straight again. But that wasn't what it was. He started pulling the breath in and out of me, and this is all written down in two pieces of literature that I wrote. One is Signs of the Times. If you write for it, you can have it, or call us, or email us. And the other one is entitled Dry Bones. Now, the way to email us is
alamoministries.com.
alamoministries.com, and it's recorded here on this tape or CD. And the way to call us is
479-782-7370.
And you can call us for a Bible or a Messiah book or any of the literature that, or all of the literature that I've written, or these tapes or whatever. And now that you can write us by writing
P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505.
Okay, so that's how I got saved. I didn't want to know God. My nightmare was to be like the Salvation Army or something. I thought, oh, that was horrible. I'd drive by them in my new Cadillac in New York when I was in the record business, and I thought, I certainly hope nothing like that ever happens to me, because that was a nightmare to me, to just dress in a gray suit with those red trim on it. And I saw them going down into a basement, you know, back and forth, and they'd be out in the snow ringing a little bell with a pot. It looked like they were wanting money in the pot and everything like that. And I thought, oh, I hope this never happens to me. That was a nightmare to me. And then when it happened to me, I thought they were the stupidest people in the world. And so I understand, you know, where some of you people are coming from out there. Don't think that I don't. And I owned a Beatles album, you know, that I knew was going to be worth possibly $100 million. Everybody says it's worth between $50 and $100 million, the way I promote records. And this is going 42 years ago, almost. And I know where you're coming from, but when I had this supernatural experience happen to me, that was it. I threw the towel in with the world, and I haven't regretted it. Because I never had any security whatsoever, but I feel so secure in the Lord so long as I keep His commandments. But I know if I don't keep His commandments, I would wind up in hell just like any other person that had trampled the blood of Jesus underfoot and made His word or tried to preach the wrong gospel to people, to where to mislead them just because I'm a sinner. You know, a lot of people that commit adultery and they're in the ministry, or they commit fornication, or they steal, they don't mention those kind of scriptures when they're preaching. Or they're drunks, they leave that out completely. Or a lot of people in ministries, if they have drunks or fornicators or adulterers or even homosexuals or lesbians in their congregation, they don't preach against that. If there's such a thing as that, or they start doing that after they've come into my ministry, everyone in this ministry will tell you that I'm going to show them the door. Amen?
Amen.
They're going to say, you want to live like the worldly people do? There's the door. Now go. Well, sir, I mean, we just can't. Listen, you know how to stay strong in the Lord, and you obviously are not doing it, and so you have to, I can't. The Lord would punish me severely if I kept you in my in this church that the Lord has given me the supervision of. Okay, now let's continue on.
If they did not, the firstborn of every family that wouldn't acknowledge the blood of Jesus, the Messiah, would die. The Jews were all sinners. They had to acknowledge the blood of Jesus, the Messiah, because there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And in that time, the symbol of the blood of Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. Also, they had to eat the sacrificial lamb in haste to have, by faith, God's life in them.
That's eating the tree of life. Amen?
Amen.
That's eating the good fruit. That's eating the Spirit. That's eating the good seed. You are what you eat. Eat Jesus. Drink Jesus. Amen? The Holy Spirit. Drink it up. And the word, again, is the food and the drink. And it's the life, your life. Okay, then what?
God's life is in the blood of Jesus, the Messiah.
It's in the Word of God, the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, all the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
The forgiveness of sins is caused by the blood of Jesus. That's the Word of God, and so that's good. But then His Word is the life. All of His Word, which that's just part of His Word, the blood of Jesus. Being washed from all your sins is not enough. You must be born again of the Spirit. So if you're washed in the blood, then the Spirit of God has to enter into you, and then the Spirit has to stay in you, and that can only happen when you're constantly eating from the tree of life, the Word of God. All right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Eating the Lamb of God in haste was done because the destroyer could come at any time.
Right, and see, the Lord, that's another thing, too, is you need to get saved quickly, because you don't know that you're going to live another minute, or that you'll make it through the day or the night. And so eat the good fruit, the tree of life, with haste. Eat it quickly. And whatever the Lord says for you to do, do it quickly. Because who wants in their right mind to go to hell and the lake of fire where they're tormented throughout eternity? Well, I just don't believe in a God that does that. Listen, believe in Him. Because to reject God that came into this world with the mercy is like the unforgivable sin. That's the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Okay, continue, please.
The blood of Jesus, quote, taketh away the sin of the world, unquote. John chapter 1, verse 29.
It does that, but you must have, then you must invite the Lord into you. Wash me in your blood, Lord, and I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart. You must do that. And the Spirit comes in, and then to show that you love the Lord, you begin reading His Word, communicating with His Word. Because if you love God, how can you say you love God and you don't want to communicate with His Word when the Word is God? So I don't hear from God. You can hear from Him if you read the Word. The Word is God, and He lays it all out for you in the Word. So don't say you can't hear from God or God is far off. He says that His Word is very nigh, that He's very near. All is in the Bible. So go to the mantle or wherever you keep the Bible and dust it off and open up God and begin eating and drinking from Him, because that's God. That's your life. That's the tree of life. That's the good fruit. That's the seed of God. That's the Spirit of God. That's the life of God, the resurrection from the dead. All right, then what?
When the Jews acknowledge and accept Jesus, the Messiah, they will have God in Jesus, the Messiah, living in them with His life, power, authority, and dominion. And He will again fight for Israel, just as He did in the days of Moses.
Right, and we have become Israel. All Israel is not Israel, because there's a lot of Jews that are going to accept the Lord, and they're going to just turn this world upside down with preaching of the Word of God and teaching of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of Jews that are saved. I'm a Jew myself, and we're called the elect here in the last days, because we're just a remnant of Jews that will be saved. But there's a new Jerusalem, and the new Jerusalem, you know, it talks about in the Bible about the great falling away from the Lord, and that Satan would enter into the temple of God in Jerusalem. Well, we are that temple of God. And we are the new Jerusalem. And so all the Christians think that there's going to be a temple of God built in Jerusalem. And it will not be the temple of God. Know ye not that we are the temple of God? That you are the temple of God? And you cannot, if you're born again of the Spirit, allow Satan to enter into you, his God's temple. And he says, well, in Jerusalem. Well, we are the new Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen?
We're the bride of Christ. Read the last two chapters in the book of Revelation. You'll see that we are the bride of Christ. We're the new Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
So don't just keep eating from the Bible, drinking from the Bible. I'm talking about the King James Version. And a lot of these study Bibles say, well, they say that the four Gospels are written in Greek. That isn't so. They're written in Aramaic and Hebrew, the New Testament. The New Testament, first four Gospels. But after that, starting from the book of Acts to the book of Revelation, the rest of the Bible is written in Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews. You know, realize that when it says this is the Greek meaning of what Jesus said, Jesus didn't speak in Greek. He spoke in Hebrew and Aramaic. Well, I see that our time is up again. We're going to continue this tomorrow, which will be tape number 104. This is tape 103, or CD number 103. And now, The thing for you to do is, do you want to receive Jesus? Do you want to receive God? Do you want to receive the Spirit of God, the life of God, the resurrection? Do you want to be resurrected from this evil, fruitless, worthless life that you're living now, so that you can have a purpose and have eternal life? Well, that's very simple. I mean, God made it so simple that little children can understand it. And if you're little children listening, and to God, we're all little children. Amen?
Amen.
I don't care if you're 105 years old. We're just a child in the eyes of God. God is from before the foundations of the world. He has no beginning and no ending. Well, no matter what, you children out there, become children of the Lord now by saying, if you want to. Now, it's your will, though. God lets you go your own way if you want to. But the Bible, God's Word, the fruit, the good fruit, tells you, say this prayer. Now, say it to God with all your heart and soul. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's the Word of God. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. I ask you to wash away all my filthy sins in the blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your precious word, your truthful word, the Holy Spirit says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. And that includes me. Your word says all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, Lord, I have called upon you, and I believe, and therefore I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Say that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, as I said, my time is up, and so make sure to tune in tomorrow for more of the Tree of Life, the good life, the resurrection. Till then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord. This is tape 103 and CD 103. God bless you all.